Springfield Contemporary Theater opens their season traditionally every summer. That's when, instead of in September, the way a lot of the arts organizations do.
We go 12 months around the year.
Pretty much. But I know he always likes to say the opening is in the summertime. So, yeah. And so you pretty much have summer to yourselves for the new production at SCT Center Stage at Wilhoit Plaza. That intimate performance space is offering theater so close you might get some on you. And the next show opens tonight and runs through July 24th. It's Paul Osborne's Mornings at 7. Robert Bradley is here. He is directing the show, and along with him, one of his actors, Maxine Whitaker. Well, all right. First of all, let's get out of the way the reference, the poetic reference in the title of the play with morning apostrophe S at 7, as in morning is at 7.
Yeah, well, that's, of course, exactly it, in that it's actually a contraction.
Yes.
Morning is at 7. But it is from a poem by Robert Browning, Pipper Passes. And I won't go into the whole thing, but mornings at 7, the lark's on the wing, the snail's on the thorn, God's in his heaven, all's right with the world.
That's probably the more famous reference from that particular poem. People know that when they don't even know the name of the poem or the fact that it was
right.
Robert Browning who wrote it.
Yeah.
All right. This is an originally a Broadway show, and it's a portrait of small-town America involving three sisters.
Four sisters. It's four sisters.
Because I have Araneta and Ida Gibbs and their sister Esther, and that's all I have.
Oh, well, actually, there are four.
Okay.
Maxine plays the oldest of the four sisters. She's Esther. And who are your other three sisters?
There is Cora, who's behind me, and after her is Ida. And then after her is Araneta, and she's called Ari. I'm Esther, and I'm called Esty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the four sisters live in a very close proximity
yes.
with each other and have done so almost all of their lives. And
next
so,
door to each other.
Yeah.
And basically, they are not only physically in close physical proximity, but I guess they're also very close emotionally.
Oh yes, and the four sisters, three of them are married, and one old maid, and she lives, and that's Araneta, Ari, and Ari lives with Thor and Cora, and so. And then next door to her are Ida and Carl. And then Esther lives a block and a half up the hill.
Talk a little about this relationship between these sisters.
Well, Esther is always in the poem that the father has said about the girls, that Esther is the smartest. So they can look to me for advice. I'm married to a college professor who's a grump. And and then Cora and I think because we're the oldest and grew up together more, are probably the closest. And then Ida's always been very mild and sweet and dependent, pretty dependent. And Araneta is a spice of life. She is feisty and outgoing and loves to get in everybody's business and know what's going on. So.
This is one of the things that we worked on through rehearsals, and that was the closeness that the four actors needed in order to be the four sisters. And so
to demonstrate that camaraderie between
them. Yeah, you know, and so we found various ways in which to try to achieve this during the rehearsals.
Team building exercises.
There we go.
We've all worked together. Everybody in the show at some point has worked in a production together.
Right.
And we've known each other for years, so it's a very natural.
Well, you have who else is involved?
Well, the four sisters. It's easier
yeah.
to keep
yeah.
it organized. The
exactly.
four sisters are Maxine Whitaker, and then, and as you mentioned,
Judy.
There is Judy Luxton and Michelle Craycroft, and then the youngest of the four, Ari, is Leslie Ballou.
Okay.
And then the three husbands are Jerry Mac Johnson, Ron Seney, and L.J. Summers. And then the other Gretchen Teague and Sean Teague,
yes,
who are husband and wife, are in this case playing Homer, who is 40 years old. He has been engaged to his girlfriend. I just lost it.
Myrtle.
Thank you, Myrtle. To his girlfriend, Myrtle, for 7 years.
Myrtle is Gretchen, and Gretchen is Myrtle.
Yes, Gretchen is Myrtle. And so his mother, Ida, has decided it is time that he gets married.
And pop the question, finally.
Yes, that's right.
They've been together for a dozen years. And
that's right.
So now what will be the consequences if or when he does? That is what the play basically centers
right.
around.
And how are they going to get him to pop the question? And if he does, suddenly Ida has the his mother has the realization he'll be leaving home.
That's right. Among other changes in his life, I suppose.
Yes.
All right. And we've gone through the cast list, and people who attend theater in this area should recognize basically every name on that list.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of longtime local favorites, so it is kind of a family atmosphere.
Yeah, very much so. Also, as I very proudly have told a number of people, and that is, this is actually a geriatrics production. And that is, if you take the 9 cast members,
yes,
the director, and the 2 designers, Lou and Rick, and you add us all together, we total 756 years. Now,
are you sure you really wanted to do that?
Yes. Well, in fact, this is the reason I chose the play.
Right.
And that is that I realize that we have a lot of senior actors, talented, and they don't always get a chance to do top-notch roles.
Right.
And this was one of the plays that we could do that.
So this is called, once again, Mornings at 7, and it is by Paul Osborne. It has been on Broadway, and we were trying to figure out before we went on the air if there was had ever been a film made of it. There was a TV production of it.
Yeah, way back in the black and white days.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that that I think, well, Paul Osborne was a playwright who started in the 20s, he became rather well known in Broadway for especially doing play adaptations, that is, writing plays based on other materials.
Right.
But Mornings at 7 was his one original play. And it was obvious it was a favorite of his. It opened in 1939. It only lasted about 100 or so performances, and it closed. And this always sort of hurt Osborne. Mm-hmm. He went on to Hollywood, became a very successful script writer, again, mostly of adaptations.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, The Bridge Over the River Kwai is one of his. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so wonderful that in 1980, 40 years after it first opened, it was sort of rediscovered, given a new production. And the new production ran, for more than a year, 500 and something performances.
Were there any updatings done to it?
No updating. No.
So we're set in 1940, basically. Is that
1939.
What 1939, actually.
Yeah, 1939.
Yeah.
I think it's so wonderful because at that point, Paul Osborne was 80 – was – yeah. No. Anyway.
He was up there in age.
Yeah, yeah. And so in the last – he died in 1988. In the last 8 years of his life, he saw success for the play that he loved. I think that's such a wonderful story.
It's a great way to wrap up your career and your life,
right,
to actually,
yeah,
have your favorite work.
Yeah, he received
see recognition.
All kinds of, he received honors and accolades of one kind or the other for writing a play 40 years earlier. Just it takes time.
Was it maybe ahead of its time somehow, or that may not have had anything to do with why it wasn't a success initially?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think part of it is that in the 1930s, a play about a Midwestern family was not exactly what Broadway was looking for, and by 1980, we were on a nostalgia
right.
Roll, and so there we were. Yeah.
All right.
Oh,
yes.
Let me get one more. We have a special for the summer, and that is a special price. If you are 90 or over, you get in free.
That's right. You're running this all summer long. Is this
No, just this, just yeah. The first show and this one.
So not in August.
No, not in August.
But if you're 90 or older, you will get in for free
and just call the number and tell them you're 90 years old and we'll work out the day.
and they'll check on that and make sure that you are and you'll get in for
free. If you want to claim it, we'll accept it.
Right. All right. The production is Mornings at 7 at SCT Center Stage in Wilhoit Plaza at the corner of Robertson and Pershing, right on the first floor of the Wilhoit Building in downtown Springfield. And it is on tonight. This is the opening night, and performances are Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 and Sundays at 2 p.m. through July 24th. You can call the box office at 831-8001. Or visit SpringfieldContemporaryTheater.org. Now, there will be a meet and greet, I guess.
And tonight, of course, and tonight and tomorrow night, there will be receptions, food and beverage following the performances. So please come.
One more question for Maxine. You were in great approval and agreement with Bob's comment that a lot of the actors around here who have a few years of experience on them don't always get great roles to play, and that this was a great opportunity to.
That seems to be standard procedure. I mean, there's a lot of theaters that do not acknowledge the older actors, and yet Britain does. If you see the productions in Great Britain, there's always those character actors that are just delightful to watch and to listen to. They have lovely faces. They have expressions. They've lived.
Yes.
And when they emote an emotion, you know they probably felt it
at some point in their lives.
Yeah.
And you can basically count on that with this cast and director for Mornings at 7 at SCT Center Stage at Wilhoit Plaza. Well, Bob Bradley and Maxine Whitaker, thanks for being here.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Right.